Welcome to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. This is episode number 3. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined once again by our incomparable and fearless leader, Gene Smith.
I don't know about that fearless. I'm scared all the time, Ben.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the start of the fall season here at OSU and the continued development of our new athletics district. Gene, welcome back, and how are we doing today?
Oh, great. Great to be here, Ben. Appreciate you doing this. It's always cool.
Happy to be here. To start out, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on here at OSU and how the fall season has started?
Yeah, well, you know, we're fortunate. We have great coaches and some of the most elite athletes in our sport program. So they've gotten off to a great start. You know, some of our teams are excelling better than others, but the competition is really enjoyable to watch. We are blessed. You know, our men's and women's soccer teams are off to a run, and our field hockey team and football team's rolling, and cross country. We had our first cross-country meet at Scarlet Golf Course for the first time in 11 years because we hosted Big Ten Championships, and it was a beautiful, beautiful day out there. So really proud of our kids. They got out to a great start, and volleyball is actually doing well. They actually compete this weekend at home, so it's really going well.
Yeah, it's always good to get things rolling after a long summer of no competitions here at OSU. Many of the teams that are competing this fall have had the benefit of preparing for their seasons in our new facilities that we have in the athletic district. Today, I thought we would talk a little bit more in depth about what the athletic district is. For those who are listening who don't know, could you just tell us real briefly what is the athletic district?
Yeah, we years ago, when the university created its framework plan for its facilities across campus, and it's basically a facilities master plan, we decided that we wanted to make sure that we created facilities that were contiguous to our other facilities so our athletes would have access to the services that they would need. And so Covelli Arena, for example, was one that we had a vision for, because St. John Arena, as great as it is, it's a huge maintenance issue. It's $21 million in deferred maintenance. And so we had to decide whether we renovate St. John or build new. And considering the sports that competed in St. John, we thought it was more appropriate to build new and place that facility in the district. The district is the area defined north of the Shot, going all the way to Ackerman Road and around Fred Taylor. It's in Olentangy. So it's a great acreage that we're able to work in. We've been able to have access to some of the land where Buckeye Village residents have occupied in the past, and those units have become available. And so we are fortunate to have access to that land. But we wanted everything contiguous, parking, created a bus route. So those student athletes who want to park and take the bus and go to class, they could do that. Shoemaker was the most important facility from my perspective. Wanted to provide a place for our athletes to be able to work out and train and have access to all the intellectual property under one roof. We had a number of different places where our athletes worked out, and nothing was quite as big, obviously, as what we have in the Shoemaker, but the most important thing was we have all our strength coaches, all our athletic trainers, all our nutritionists. Everybody's under one roof. And so that sharing of knowledge informally as they work in that workplace to help make sure we're giving our student athletes the best. It's very important because you have to have structural meetings. You used to have structural meetings in order to bring them together and talk about best practices or things that they learned. And now they just do it naturally in the habitat that they're in. And when the NCAA opened up our ability to provide more meals, we were able to, in the Shoemaker, provide a setting where our student athletes can use, kind of, it's not really a dining hall, so to speak, but it's a dining area, but also build it in a way where they could take their food from their fuel stations and just go eat in the corner if they want to. And we're blessed to have a student gathering area there that they hang out in and set up their laptops. And we just built a patio that eventually, I guess, we're going to get tables out there. They keep telling me they're coming. I'm waiting for them. And we're going to get tables out there, and I think it's going to be a place particularly in the mornings and the evenings where our student athletes will hang out and chill. And so it's the district is really all of our facilities in a contiguous way, right next to one another, embedded parking, makes it easier for our athletes to flow.
And I know you said this is part of a greater university plan, mm-hmm. but how long has this vision, how long have you been formulating a vision for something like this in your own mind?
Yeah, since 2006. When I came here in 2005, God blessing Bill Hall was the vice president for student life and unfortunately passed away. And but he was the one that taught me about this land, this area, and the challenge that they were having with some of Buckeye Village. And then I did a study on St. John Arena, and if you go down into the women's track locker room, you can literally see the foundation shifting and the blocks from the wall is beginning to shift from the ceiling because the foundation is shifting. And so there'd be so much that you'd have to do in order to bring that up to speed. So I always had in my mind that one day we have to do something different for, you know, our men's and women's volleyball teams and our wrestling team and our men's and women's gymnastics team from a competition point of view. And then we're fortunate to have a nice, decent facility off campus on Kinnear Road called Steelwood. And the vision is to eventually, you know, move away from that facility. We're able to do that with wrestling, so thanks to some unbelievable donors like Brad Jennings and his wife. But the idea started in 2006 when I started to plot out, okay, how are we gonna make this better for Olympic sports? Andy Geiger, who preceded me, did a masterful job with our Olympic sports, the shoe, the shot, baseball. But I felt that my time as a leader was to really try and focus on our Olympic sports and provide them the similar resources and facilities that weren't exactly lacking, but could be a whole lot better.
And now you mentioned Shoemaker briefly. Exactly what facilities make up the athletics district as it currently exists?
Yeah, so the vision in 2006 really was started with the shot, to be quite frank, you know, and trying to, when we added the basketball practice facility for the shot, then people forget, you know, we did the softball stadium. You know, people forget we moved field hockey from just north of the Woody Hayes, just south of the Woody Hayes to north of the Woody Hayes. We moved that. Then we started Harmon Park. So we created those four practice fields. So the district started years ago. And the vision was to continue to work to the north until student life felt that over time, Buckeye Village units would become available. And so, you know, when Shoemaker became the ultimate goal along with Covelli, we needed to make sure we had access to that land where some Buckeye Village units were, and we decided to raise the money at the same time for both of them, which was north of a $90 million campaign, and our team did an excellent job. But the Shoemaker is kind of the heart of the entire district. So the district includes all of our facilities over here, and people forget about field hockey. We're going to make some improvements to field hockey next year, like $1.2 million investment. And so every single sport that we have will ultimately be impacted by the district.
So obviously the entire vision behind this athletic district is conceptually with our student athletes in mind first.
No,
and so we are very fortunate today to be joined by a couple of those student athletes who have firsthand experience in two of our most recent athletic district facility updates. We're lucky to be joined by Izzy Rodriguez from our women's soccer team and Colin Moore from the wrestling team. Guys, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It's our pleasure. Izzy, for you, what has the transition been like moving into the Shoemaker and having that facility available to you guys?
So for the women's soccer team, we moved into the Shoemaker late December, early January. And for me, that was a big change because we were living out of trailers in our game locker room at the time. So the change from that to such a nice facility that has the nutrition, the recovery, the strength and conditioning all in one area was absolutely incredible. The convenience of it and how elite the athletes all together were was amazing.
That's fantastic. And Colin, what about for you guys? What's the transition from Steelwood to the Covelli and the Jennings Wrestling Practice Facility been like for you guys?
Yeah, it's just been amazing. The wrestling room itself at Steelwood, you know, was a good space for us, but I think it was just getting to that point where an upgrade wasn't a bad idea. So especially in terms of the locker room and lounge areas and just a place for the team to hang out, we never really had that at Steelwood. So it was kind of just show up for practice, leave. But now we have all this extra stuff like a lounge area, a really nice locker room, and a definite upgrade in the wrestling room. We moved up to 5 mats. So it's just a whole upgrade, and it's just going to help us recruit, help us train, help us recover so much more.
How have those upgrades helped you personally in your training or your interactions with your teammates?
I think it's definitely brought us closer as a team. I know a lot of us show up way earlier for practice now and just hang out in the lounge. We have some sleep and recovery pods, which is nice because you're in class all day. I'll just go straight from class to practice now. Get a quick nap in before practice, which is nice. And then if I'm super tired after practice, I'll lay down again, or I can sit and watch TV and just decompress after practice instead of, the old locker room. You didn't really have that opportunity to. So the recovery is definitely nice. And even little stuff like the closed loops that we have. It used to take 3 or 4 days to get our workout clothes back. And now we can get them back maybe the same day or the next day. So it's just a really added convenience. It sounds kind of, I don't know, bougie to complain about that stuff. But you know, Ohio State has the resources, and we're just thankful we're taking advantage of them.
Absolutely. That sounds fantastic. We're big proponents of a siesta here at the Gene Smith Podcast.
That's right, man.
Izzy, I know you guys said that you said you guys were in trailers before moving into the Shoemaker. Tell us a little bit more about what that situation was.
So across from our game locker room, which is under our stands, that was where our locker room was. But our training room was in portable trailers across the way from us. And we had our visiting locker room over there. It's pretty tight, and it was shared with men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse. It was worth it being in there now and being able to be in this facility and have the resources we have all in one area right now. But the upgrade is really dramatic for me. I never got to see bigs, and that was a big upgrade even from that. So going from trailers to the Shoemaker complex is amazing.
Yeah, Gene, Izzy mentioned referenced bigs, and the trailers, obviously. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the transition process between facilities?
Yeah, so one thing that we wanted to do, Biggs was named after one of our great trainers, was connected to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. It was about a 30,000 square foot building, and now the Shoemaker's is north of 110,000 square feet, so it's significantly bigger, two levels. And so the Biggs was an older facility, and we tried our best to keep it alive as we went along. But we wanted to obviously demolition that and build the Shoemaker. But obviously when we demoed the Biggs, where women's soccer was, for example, we had to put them in the transition area. And so the transition area was the trailers. And it was interesting to watch. We had a training room in there. We had teams in there. And there was a big ceremony when they finally came down, and our trainers were like going berserk. We had an equipment room in there, so we had some security issues at night because with their trailers, and so it was a fun time when we finally moved out of there. And then watched the staff who had to work in there every single day. They had a little party going on. But one of the things we wanted to do with the Shoemaker was to attach it to the Woody Hayes. So really, when you think of our athletic complex, we need to think of it as 330,000 square feet, because now all of our strength coaches are integrated. Mickey Marotti oversees all 21 strength coaches, so they're all a team, but they're basically in the same complex. So both weight rooms are about 16,000 square feet, so you essentially have 32,000 square feet of weight room. And so I remember, our first time our football team actually lifted in the Shoemaker a couple of times, and that was new for them. And then some of our other teams have lifted inside the Woody Hayes, and that was new for them. And so we wanted to have that access for both teams, for all of our teams. Our actually synchronized swimming never had been into Woody Hayes. Those kids had never been into Woody Hayes Center, and they ended up going one morning and lifting out in the football weight room, and that's the what I wanted to see. I wanted to see that, and then the integration of our student athletes. Athletes inspire athletes, and so, you know, Colin, I wish we had Kyle Snyder here, you know, working out in that weight room right now, and our Izzy could see Kyle working out because he's a beast, right?
That's pretty inspirational.
You either want to quit or you want to be like him, you know, one or the other. So, but it, you know, that's the beauty of having all of our athletes together, because sometimes some of our smaller teams might be two or three teams working out in our strength room at the same time, and that's a beautiful thing.
If Kyle came into one of my workouts, I would probably just go straight to one of those napping pods and just spend the rest of the
same,
day. Yeah.
Same here.
Don't need to be embarrassed by that. Izzy, Gene referenced the new strength and conditioning facilities over at the Shoemaker. When you guys were getting ready for your current season, how did that new facility help you guys prepare for what you're taking on now?
Yeah, so we're here all summer, which is another great resource we have. We get to spend May, June, and July all together conditioning and weightlifting, and the strength area all in one area, and having the turf right by us, it makes our workouts very efficient. We get to go from lifting to conditioning, and it's really important because we don't get to lift a lot in season, and having the facility right here and a big facility that we can share with other teams and not have to work around schedules is amazing.
I think Izzy was laughing at me one morning when my trainer was working out. My trainer, when I used to go in there at 6 a.m., and my trainer would come with me. She's like, you know, 5'2", and she would just beat me up. I saw Izzy laughing at me one time. She's like, look at that old man working out over
there. So join our workout.
There you go. So that sounds like a great plan. So, Colin, tell me a little bit about what you think the impact of the Jennings is going to be on your guys' program and then competing in Covelli as well.
Yeah, the first big thing that comes to mind is just a huge recruiting advantage. We've always had, you know, the training partners, the coaches, the resources of Ohio State, but now we really have the best facility in the world. So there's really no reason not to come to Ohio State to wrestle, I think, now, just because everything's right there, you can see it. And then it'll be really nice to have 5 mats to warm up before a match now, because we would go over to St. John's, and you'd have to warm up. We would warm up on the mat outside in the arena, and it would be kind of cold and stuff. So it'll be really nice to just have your own locker room where you're comfortable in. You're not just there once, maybe every couple weeks, but you have your locker room where you spend every day. It's very comfortable. You're used to everything. You have 5 mats to warm up in. And it's just going to be a smaller, more closer environment for the fans, which I think will be really cool. I've seen St. John's sold out twice, I think Big Ten's my senior year of high school, and then against Penn State last year. And it was amazing. I love St. John's, but this one, hopefully, I think we can sell out every single match, and the atmosphere is just going to be crazy.
Yeah, that Covelli Arena being built and constructed with the sports specifically in mind, when you get a full crowd in there, Tom Ryan, the head wrestling coach, has described it as he wants it to feel smothering.
That's true. It will be. It will be. You know, it's wrestling will be in that 4,000, a little north of 4,000 capacity, and because we'll have seats on the floor, and probably closer to 45. But then every now and then we might have that big match that we'll take to the shot. But Tom's right, Colin's right. We want to create an atmosphere in there that is smothering. The wrestling fans are some of the best fans in the world, and so when you get them going and cheering for our guys, it's the acoustics in there are just going to be unbelievable. And that is our most wired, media savvy, electrically wired building that we have. I mean, it's really cool when they get going.
Yeah, it's really definitely a sight to see. Gene, Izzy referenced the strength and conditioning, and Colin has talked about kind of the shared space or the team lounges. In the planning for these facilities, how do you take those sort of things into consideration, and what things were must-haves, and what things ended up being just a nice addition at the end of the project?
Well, what we do is, we try and do a study first and foremost, and we have a committee for each facility. In the Shoemaker, for example, I mean, we had coaches, we had our trainers, we had strength coaches, we had a nutritionist, and we had some administrators on this committee, and basically, they designed it, and so I have a process where I want our team to design what we feel we want before we hire an architect. Sometimes an architect will come in and then they'll plan with you. But I want all of our elements in place before. We might not know the size of a room, or we might not know where a hallway should go or whatever. But at the end of the day, we know based upon feedback from the people who have boots on the ground. That's the most important thing. I could sit there and draw up what I think it should be, but Angie Beisner, our trainer, with her feedback from her trainers who work with her, they can say, we need this hydro area this way. We need these tables set up this way, because they are operating in that space. And so, but they all know the priority is to ensure that our student athletes get the service that they need. That's the most important thing. So I give them that broad-based direction and get out of the way and try and go raise the money. But at the end of the day, it's the people who actually work in that space. Weight room is that same way. The layout, the weights, the weight company, the cardio area, Andy Teitelbaum's rowing erg room, and the temperature control in that room.
It's the coldest room on campus.
I know, yeah. I know. Probably the only things that I added were things just depending on years of experience. I wanted all the locker rooms to be ventilated. I've had that in my past in other places, so
I'm sure both of these guys appreciate that.
Yeah. And anybody that walks through appreciates it. So having the locker rooms ventilated, didn't have the USB outlets inside the locker, and little things that I've experienced over my time, I'd say, okay, we got to have these things in. And then there's some things I call them wow areas, you know, like the Olympic rings on the wall, and where we can pay tribute to our great Olympians. And the equipment room, most people wouldn't call that a wow area, but the storage facility in there is like off the chain.
Absolutely.
Off the chain. And that comes
from my wife's closet looks like.
Yes, that's right. That's probably right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Those Amazon boxes.
Izzy and Colin, I want to ask both of you, what is your favorite part of your new facility, your new home? Izzy, why don't we start with you?
I think our locker room's my favorite part, just because I came from the trailers and from the game locker room, and having a spot that I enjoy being, I could spend hours there and not feel like I need to go back to my apartment. We watch film there and I don't get sick of it. I enjoy being in the locker room with the team and surrounded by the team, and then being able to step out of the locker room and be around other athletes as well.
Izzy, while we're on you, where you're from and what you're majoring in and when you graduate?
I'm from Canton, Michigan. I am a finance major and I'm a third year, so I'm a junior.
Fantastic. Colin, what about you? What's your favorite part of Jennings and the Cavelli?
I think my favorite part of the Jennings, the wrestling room specifically, is the windows. So
you didn't have those before.
Yeah, pretty much every wrestling room you ever go to, it looks like a dungeon. There's really low ceilings, no windows. You can't tell what time of day it is outside or anything like that. You feel kind of trapped. So I remember we have practice on Saturday mornings of home football games. And it's so much more enjoyable when you're on a bike or you're working out just to have some natural sunlight in. It's changed my whole mood. So, and then there's just other little small things. Like we have video review now on all five of our mats. So I can go on my phone after practice and watch my practice pretty much, which is just a huge advantage. So just little things like that, just the over-the-top stuff that we didn't have at Steelwood, is just really going to going to make the little things big for training.
So Colin, give me your background, and you've graduated. Talk to a little bit about your undergraduate degree and what you're doing now.
Yeah, I'm a fifth-year senior from Burbank, Ohio, and I majored in sport. Oh, man.
You graduated.
I graduated. I majored in logistics and operations management through Fisher College of Business, and now I'm in the sports management master's program.
Fantastic. And then both of you guys, what do you, I know this may be a hard question to answer at this point, but what would you like to do once you're done competing in your respective sports?
I would like to play professionally after this for a couple of years at least. But then after that, I'd ideally want to be in financial planning somewhere in a big company and work my way up to running a company.
That's my girl.
There you go. Kyle, what about you?
So ideally, I want to stay here and train at the regional training center, make some world teams and Olympic teams alongside Kyle and Nate and Miles and guys like that. So I want to do that for as long as I can, get as many medals as I can, as long as my body holds up. And then, you know, if that doesn't work out, I think I would really enjoy coaching. But I also really enjoyed some logistics side of the business school. I think that was really interesting. It's a lot of problem solving, stuff like that. I got my green belt in Six Sigma training, so I would really like to do something with that. It'd be fun.
Awesome.
It's fantastic. Izzy, Colin, I really appreciate both you guys being here today. And with that, Gene and I will continue the conversation after a brief break.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And through the miracles of editing, we are back. Really appreciated Izzy and Colin spending some time with us. Gene, I know that they're two great examples of the many student athletes we have here.
Yes.
But when you're thinking about those two or any of the student athletes that we currently have on campus, how do you take them into consideration when you're planning any facility updates or expansions that we have?
Yeah, you know, that they're the core. They're why we're here, and these are elite athletes, best in the country, some best in the world. And so I spend a lot of time talking to coaches, talking to athletes. I spend a lot of time watching them in their space, practicing or competing, and I'm always making mental notes. And so I want to make sure that whatever we do accommodates their needs in order to train and get better. And I remember when I first came here and our men's basketball team was practicing sometimes over at the RPAC because we were having more events in the shot than we anticipated that we had when we built the shot. And then we also had some former players coming back, and our former players didn't have anywhere to go, actually just shoot around and get better. And we have a large number internationally. So looking at the shot and having saying we needed to build a practice gym just for men's basketball was important. So those guys didn't have to go to the RPAC and be in that fishbowl with all the students watching them practice, and because that's their classroom. They're getting ready for the highest level of competition. So they need a classroom. And then, you know, for our former athletes who were playing at the next level, who played here and gave us so much, I wanted them to have a place that they could just come to and unfeathered, not worried about, you know, whether or not they can get on the floor and you know, having a Mike Conley come back with his trainer and working on his game, or David Lighty coming back from overseas working on his game. All those things were important. So I always keep in mind, okay, what do our student athletes really need? And so Colin and Izzy are representative of that, and the field hockey team, all of them, I think about it that way.
There have been times when I've gone over to the shot and walked into the practice gym and felt like I walked through a black hole, and I'm not back in 2006. It's like the whole roster's back there.
That's true, all of them.
Tell us a little bit more, Gene, about the next phase of the athletics district and what future facility projects we have coming down the pipe.
Well, we just started, actually, our men's tennis indoor facility right now there off campus, and we've raised the money for that, north of $20 million, and that will be complete next year, sometime in that September window of time, early October. But that just started construction, actually, the last couple of days, and our steel package will arrive in November, so you'll actually see steel going up before December. And then we're currently fundraising for a lacrosse facility. Lacrosse facility will be right next to Covelli, across the street from the Shoemaker. That's about a $22 million project, and so we hope to have all that fundraised sometime before April of next year, go to the board, ask them for approval to start construction in the fall, and hopefully somewhere in late 21, the lacrosse facility will be done. And we're actually studying what other facilities will be next. One of them, the things I'd like to that we're looking at is our indoor track facility, Frenchfield House, which is attached to St. John. Eventually, Cannon Drive will come all the way through. So we want to make sure that we have a track facility that our track athletes need. So we're still doing a study on that, trying to figure out what we want to do there. And the master plan calls for that to be across the street from Jesse Owens on the other side of Fred Taylor Drive, where our soccer fields are. So obviously, we'd have to move our soccer fields to another location. So looking at our women's ice rink and what we want to do there, we probably need to move that. So we're looking at that, doing a study around that. And we're also doing some studies around the Woody Hayes. We're not going to build a new building for the Woody Hayes, but we need to, our staff is expanding. There's some deferred maintenance issues there, so we need to look at what expansion things we need to do around Woody Hayes. Also, next year, actually in the summer, I think in May, we'll start the renovation of our field hockey facility, where we'll add a larger press box and seating area for our student athletes, and we'll study the stands on the east side of that facility. So there's a number of different studies going on, and then we'll figure out which one we want to prioritize after we finish lacrosse. I'd like our fundraising team to be focused on one project at a time.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more and maybe provide some insight about the timeline of facilities? From study to, when we actually open the doors.
Yeah, so we, all the things, for example, I just mentioned, we enact a study, and then our team, our development officers, our facility people will literally sit in the room and talk about, along with our finance people, which ones we think we realistically can fundraise for in finance. And so, and then which ones are really from a facility point of view, which ones we really need to get done expeditiously. So we will go through that process as a group, as a team. We'll make that as a collective decision. And then the study will be done, and then we'll go through the process of defining how we want to fundraise, because all of our projects are 100% fundraised. They're donor-driven. We don't use ticket dollars or media dollars. They're all donor-driven. And so it might take, 1 year for a project, or it might take 4 years for a project. And so it depends on which one we raise money for. But I have a principle that we will not start a project until all the money's committed. And so whichever one we end up with, we'll have to have that as a part of our policy moving forward, and we've done that in the past. So then once we run fundraise the dollars, and we work with the university to get a loan, it could be a 5-year loan or 10-year loan or 15-year loan based upon the pledges that our donors make. And then we pay that loan off based upon the pledges when they come in. And that's how the university prepays all the architectural and construction costs. And so we, we're blessed. We have an environment where, the university understands our priorities, and we work with our CFO. We work with our senior vice president for facilities and planning, and we never do anything in a vacuum. We totally integrate it. And that's kind of the timeline, and we bid out our construction work, bid out our architectural work. So whoever's the best and most qualified with the best price wins the job, and we go from there.
I know we have a deep history of private support for our facilities here. Yeah. Ohio Stadium, when it was first constructed in 1922, was 100% privately funded, with contributions coming from all 88 counties in the state of Ohio. It's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, that's a great story.
In Ohio
Stadium. That's why it's owned by the state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Gene, I appreciate your time as always, and that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We will be back with new episodes released on the first Monday of each month. Next month, we will be providing some insight into the life of our Buckeye student athletes, as well as discussing some of the timely changes coming in college athletics. For Gene Smith and everyone here at the Ohio State Department of Athletics, I am Ben Waite. Thank you, and go Bucks.
Thanks, Ben. Go Bucks.